Hello everyone, it's Tomasz and this is the fourth episode of Fuji Love Podcast. Today, together with Freek, we will be talking to Jonas Rask. Jonas is an official Fujifilm ex-photographer from Denmark and he will tell us how being a doctor of medicine helps him with his street photography, why he is shooting more and more in a JPEG mode, and which combination of the Fujifilm camera and lens is his favorite these days. Enjoy.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Here are your hosts, Tomasz and Frank.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fuji Love Podcast.
It's good morning.
Which episode is it?
I think
it's the fourth episode. And today we have a great guest. You know him already from the Fuji Love website. A couple of days ago, there was an interview with Jonas Rask. Jonas Rask is a Danish official Fujifilm ex-photographer. And I just thought it would be a great follow-up to, you know, after our interview on the site, to actually listen to Jonas and talk for a couple of minutes. So welcome, Jonas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Thomas.
And it's really great having you here. We just looked with Freek at your website and we read that you are also a medical doctor, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What is it that you are doing? What's your specialty?
Well, I'm a general practitioner of medicine. I don't know if you have that in Switzerland as well, but in Denmark, we have this system where we have the primary care sector and then we have the secondary care sector, which is the hospitals and stuff. And I'm in the primary care sector. So I'm basically the first contact that patients that feel ill have with the healthcare system. So I get to decide and check them out to see if they need a referral to the hospital system. So that's basically a general practitioner.
Okay. So I can imagine it's your daily job. So you're pretty busy, taking a lot of your time.
Yeah. that's how doctorship works, I guess.
How much time is left for photography?
Well, as much as I can possibly have. I mean, I'm doing the commuting from my home to my practice, which is half an hour each way. So I get time every day for street photography. So I take at least an hour every day for street photography. So
this is great. This is what I'm always advocating. I mean, with Fujifilm cameras, we know all that it's easier. They are smaller. We can always have them in our pocket or in our bag. So Fuji, this is a Fuji Love podcast. So let's talk about Fuji.
Exactly.
When was it that you started using Fuji cameras?
Well, it was in 2011. I actually just went past a store, a camera store here in my hometown of Aarhus in Denmark, and I just saw the little X100 in the window, and I was completely smitten. I mean, at the time I was using a regular Canon DSLR, and I wasn't doing much photography other than just photographing my kids. But I just saw that thing, and I immediately called my dad, who's a photographer as well. I said, have you seen this camera from Fujifilm? This new digital camera? It looks just like the old school rangefinder cameras. And he actually linked me later about a review. I think it was on DP Review or something like that. I just couldn't let it go. So I actually just went in the store and I bought the thing. And
I think Freek is kind of similar way.
Yeah.
I mean, similar to what happened to us, right, in the beginning.
Yeah.
How was it with you, actually?
I have a Nikon.
Yeah.
It's big with all the lenses and everything. And I saw this little one, and it had this leather case around it, the retro model. And I really liked it from the start. And it has all the functions in it, but it looks... And especially for street photography, it's great. Because people just think you have a toy camera or something like that, old analog one. And it's not as much threatening for them than
you
have a big camera in the face. And
exactly.
But Jonas, okay, we very often talk about exactly the look of those cameras, how we fell in love with the retro style. But okay, then at some point it comes to this moment where you actually, you know, test it, press the shutter for the first time and look at the images that come out of it. I mean, if this would not, you know, work fine for you, and if you would be not satisfied what's actually coming out of the camera, you wouldn't have bought it, right? I mean,
no. So
what is it about the images or about the, you know, what differentiates for you the thing about Fuji? You know, you were shooting Canon before, you said, right?
Yeah.
Was there something, or was it just this small factor of the camera, and this was the, you know, deciding moment for you, or was there something about the images themselves?
Well, I mean, I think it's twofold in a way, because what really got to me the first time was the look. I mean, if it's the same with a lot of other things. I mean, as photographers, we're always looking for beautiful things, I guess. So we like when things look pretty, right? And
I would have also other comparison, but let's leave it right on the side.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. but then, I mean, if I know for me, when I have something like that in my hand, it makes me want to go out and shoot. So I will make images where I wouldn't make any images otherwise, simply because I actually like having that camera around my neck. But once that's been said, the first time I saw the files coming from my X100, it was just JPEGs, right? Because I literally took the camera from the store out into the streets and just started shooting. And I got home and I hadn't put it into RAW mode or anything. It was just shooting JPEGs, and it was shooting Velvia JPEGs. And I just remember the feeling when I got home and looked at them at my computer. I was blown away. I mean, these colors was just something I hadn't seen since. I mean, my dad was shooting film, okay. So definitely, it has a lot of potential in the image quality department.
So, what is it you are mainly shooting these days? We looked through your portfolio and. I think Freck also have a question about one particular project, but just maybe shortly, what is it? I mean, what kind of photographer are you? How would you define yourself?
Back in May, I was on the campaign from Fujifilm UK to do a commercial about the X-T10. And they put me in a category, they called me a portrait and lifestyle photographer. And I'd actually never thought about it that way, because I'd always categorized myself as being a street photographer, although I'm not doing proper streets the way that many define the genre, right? So I actually took that in, and I mean, that's basically just what I do. I just seem to photograph every aspect of my everyday life, be it kids or model shoots or street photography. I just photograph everything. So I think lifestyle photographer is a pretty decent category to
So on your website, you wrote, "My photographic inspiration comes from the interplay between humans and their surroundings." So, this is what drives you. I mean, the presence of human beings in different scenarios, putting him or seeing them in different juxtapositions.
Yeah.
This kind of dynamic, this tension between this living element and the static elements. This is somewhere along these ways.
It is, and that's definitely what I look for when I'm on the streets. I mean, I like to isolate just one human being, or maybe just a couple. But then I just seem to fill the frame with harsh materials from the city, and then just use it as this contrast with the people in the frame. So it's kind of. I mean, I'm also one of those guys that are very perfectionistic. I mean, I have to be in my line of work. So I like when lines are straight and when everything is in order and stuff like that. So I tend to think a lot in composition and using the frames wisely. So yeah.
As a doctor, you are trained to observe people, of course.
Yep.
Does it help you in your photography?
I think my understanding maybe of humans. I mean, I'm used to communicating, and I've been trained a lot in human emotion and human responses, mm-hmm. and I actually use that a lot because I'm always looking for that emotion. But I actually use that. But on the other hand, my photography is kind of my opposite to my daily work, where I talk a lot and help people out a lot. Whereas when I put my camera to my eye, it's just for me, and I just tend to lean back and observe without interfering and mm-hmm. without having to do anything, just really observing. But I mean, it's been said a lot of times from a lot of photographers that social skills are very important. And I mean, even though you stay out of sight and stay candid and try to capture these candid moments in street photography, it's still important to just have some social skill, because you have at some point to interact with your subjects at one point or the other. So I think that's actually something I can take with me.
When I look at these pictures from your most recent project, In Transit and Darkness, it's rather the case that, or always the case, from at least from what I am, you know, like seeing, that your subjects are not aware of you photographing them, right?
No. I mean, I think I'm just scrolling through it now. None of these in this were aware that I was shooting them. Mm-hmm. I like this style. I like to not interrupt. I mean, if I do interrupt them, it'll be for regular portraiture, which I do at from time to time. When I see an interesting figure on the street and I would like to just portrait them, I go and ask them if I can portrait them. But many of these, most of these... is always candid for me. Mm-hmm.
And sorry, yeah.
The overall feeling I get from the from your pictures is it's a bit of gloomy. It's black and white, of course. There's not much joy in those people, I guess. Is that something which is Aarhus or Danish or what?
Nah, I mean, we always get to hear from the world that the Danish people are among the happiest people in the world, and we generally are. I think we generally are, but again, this is my latest project, and it's just me reacting to these winter months where in Denmark we have no light and everything is dark, and I just tend to crank up the contrast. And I mean, if you go back to, say, May, where I've shot some of the sample images for the X-T10, they're full of motion and joy and sunshine and laughing people and children. And it's just, this project was just for me to just say, man, this month is so dark, and let's just enhance that further and do it mysteriously and bring out all these dark elements, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess like 80%, maybe not, but a big part of your images is in black and white.
Yeah. It's always been my preference.
And why is it? You know, I also love black and white myself, so it's always interesting for me to listen to hear what drives other guys, other photographers.
Yeah. I mean, there's a quote, I can't remember which photographer said it, which is not very good, I guess, but there was this quote from a long time ago where a photographer said that if you photograph people in color, you photograph their clothes, but if you take a picture of them in black and white, you photograph their soul, which is I think is quite a true statement, because I tend to leave out all the things that can actually just disturb the emotion of the image. And photographing in the city mainly, there are a lot of disturbing elements. I mean, unless the color is plain and what I want it to be, then I usually leave it out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And in terms of technical aspects, we all know Fujifilm cameras have those very, very good black and white simulations built in. Are you sticking to those, or are you working on your photos a lot in post?
Actually, I always shoot when I'm out on the streets. I set my cameras to the black and white plus red filter simulation to get most contrast as I can. And then I put on plus two in the shadow tonality and plus two in the highlight tonality to get as much contrast as I can. Mm-hmm. And then I actually use that through the finder. So I train my eye to see in luminosity instead of seeing in color. And then when I get home, I always shoot JPEG plus RAW, so I have the RAW file in color if I want it. And then when I get home, I usually, for these dark shots, I punch the contrast even more and punch the clarity slider all the way to the top.
So just a reminder to our listeners and maybe to those who are, you know, very new to the Fujifilm system. This is one of the greatest features about Fuji cameras. You can shoot in JPEG and RAW. You can set your film simulation, color simulation to whatever you want, and you will be immediately seeing in this kind of simulation, in this kind of style, in the viewfinder, in the electronic viewfinder. So you are actually really composing and creating the scene in this kind of look, which you really like. But still,
yeah,
in the background, you can be saving your RAW file and tweak the image really to your absolute liking in the post-processing. But this is an amazing thing that you see what you get. Yeah, what you see is what you get. Yeah,
it's actually the best thing about these cameras to me.
I agree, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole viewfinder experience, you can get that from a lot of other mirrorless cameras, but what makes Fujifilm so great is these film simulations. I mean, Fujifilm is a film company as well, so they really have this down. I mean, they produce these great-looking JPEGs, and for a lot of times, I actually use the JPEGs that I just tweak on in Lightroom. For other times, I just use the RAW file if I need to punch out some shadow details or something like that. But I actually use a lot of JPEGs, which is, I mean, some professional photographers think that's insane. But I mean, more and more people are actually starting to enjoy the JPEGs because they're
you know, the question really I get a lot, like via emails through Fujilove, is when I shoot JPEGs, when I shoot in JPEG mode and then I import the JPEG file into the Lightroom and start working on it, you know, is this file going to be, you know, destroyed? Am I going to lose 80% of my quality? And what's your thought on this?
Well, as long as you don't sharpen the JPEG files. I mean, the JPEG files coming from these X-Trans sensors are so insanely sharp that if you start sharpening them, that's when the artifacts that you get in especially trees and foliage, that's when they start to appear. Because you need to just turn down that sharpness because it's already there. Mm-hmm. So once you get that into your processing, then you can actually do a lot to those files. I mean, it's still compressed JPEG, so you don't have as much complexity in your shadows and in your highlights. But I mean, as long as you're shooting RAW plus JPEG, in those difficult moments, you can always use the RAW. But JPEGs are really fine. You really have to mess them up to do something.
When I shoot in black and white, I somehow recently tend to use the yellow filter. But what I noticed in Lightroom is in comparison to you know, other camera brands and their files, the Fuji files kind of handle very well the clarity boost. I like boosting the clarity, which is something different to sharpness. I kind of like boosting up the clarity, and it doesn't get over sharpened. It gets some more contrast, and it's one of those things I really like using.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a while to figure out these X-Trans files, but and I mean, from the X-Pro 1, which I enjoy a lot, they put in the new X-Trans sensor in the newer cameras, and there's a definite difference. I mean, there's a definite difference at high ISOs. They tend to be more plasticky in the skin once you get over a certain ISO, but that isn't there in the X-Pro 1 version, in the first generation X-Trans. But still, a lot of the techniques that you need to use in developing is different. But once you get it down, you get these gorgeous files. And I mean, I also shoot with Leica, and they're a different beast to handle. They have some other problems which I need to to do differently, but mainly they're not better at all. They're just different. So I think that's the same with a lot of other camera manufacturers. You just need to learn the files.
Right,
so.
And learn your camera, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The 365 project you did?
Yeah.
That was for pushing yourself to start photographing? Or was it the beginning of your career? Or did you do it later?
It was. I took the decision last year. I'm still in the middle of it. I still need to go until January 1st of 2016, so I'm almost done. But I mean, it was this kind of stupid thing that I just talked with a guy about during New Year's Eve last year or this year. And I just came up with this crazy thing that I know a lot of people have been doing it. And I said, well, I mean, let's try this. Let's take a photo every day, but let's make it as hard as I can. I need to upload this image every day as well. I can't just take a bunch and then just upload them later or take three at a day and then just the next 3 days don't do anything. I have to do one shot at least every day and just put it up. And then I went on this crazy thing that it needs to mean something. It can't just be shots of things close up. Or I mean, I need to challenge myself, which it has been very, very, very challenging. But one of the things I learned mm-hmm. is discipline. Photographic discipline. I mean, no matter the odds and no matter the situation, I have to create an image from this day, which is very giving. I mean, no matter what camera I had on me, I had to make the image. Mm-hmm. So it's been very rewarding. I can actually see it in my images, and it's helped me being very efficient when I'm on the streets. Half an hour to and from work is more than plenty for me now, because I can actually easier spot things than I could a year ago.
So this is an excellent piece of advice. This is always so many successful photographers, recommend. It's actually all about limiting yourself, right? So
yeah.
You have 20 minutes, you have half an hour, you have one camera, but you have to produce the best possible photograph every single day. This is surely growing as a photographer. Exactly. Jonas, we will be slowly wrapping up. Last question, I think many listeners would be very interested in. What is it that you are mainly shooting with these days? What is the combination of a camera and a lens?
It's actually my old X-Pro1 with the new 35mm f2. Which since my review a month back, it hasn't left my camera. It's just an amazing lens. And when it rains here in Denmark, I usually put it on my X-T1 because then I have the weather sealed abilities. But mainly those are the cameras. And then always in my bag, I have my X100T, which is my go-to camera, which I always use. I mean, I'm in this collective called the X100C. Which is just 9 photographers that we're only using the X100 series. And I mean, it's a phenomenal camera. It's the camera that got me started into this whole Fujifilm, and it's the one that I'm always going to end up using. It's a fantastic camera.
Great. Jonas, thanks a lot. And where should people go when they want to find out more about your projects?
Of course, my website at jonasraskphotography.com, and I'll always have links to the different kind of stuff that I'm up to on that site. But also, I'm getting more and more active on my Instagram account, which is, I think it's jonas.rask. I can't really remember.
We will link to everything on the site, right?
Cool. But that's my two main areas of sharing my work.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Finish the project, right? Don't give up. It's only 25 more days, I guess.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
And we talk to you another time, huh?
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank
it was
you
a pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Jonas. He's such a nice, great guy. If you are enjoying the Fujilove podcast, I would really appreciate if you could take a minute and leave a 5-star review in iTunes.
It will help us spread the word about the podcast and get more Fujifilm enthusiasts listening to this show. And of course, don't forget to head over to our website at fujilife.com to have a look at the latest articles. Have a great light, everyone, and keep shooting.
Thanks for listening to Fuji Love with your hosts, Tomasz and Frank. We'll catch you next time.